This is Jay Sekulow. The nation remembers the tragedy of September 11th.
My name is Alex Alma, and this is my brother Aiden, and this is my sister Anna.
Gary R. Box.
Kennedy Boyarsky.
The horror of September 11th reminded us of the great price paid for this freedom.
Pamela Boyce.
Michael Boyle.
My father, John Salmo, worked for Cannon Fitzgerald in the North Tower.
But out of the ashes of the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and a field in Pennsylvania arose all that is best in the American spirit.
And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
A spirit of courage and self-sacrifice.
Alfred Brocker.
Of hope.
Kevin Hugh Brecken.
And of course, a spirit of faith.
I remember playing in the yard with him. I remember him pulling me in my wagon. He was strong. He always made me feel safe. He was funny. He always made me laugh. I wish I could remember more, but we were so young when he died. But I do remember how much he loved us, and I know how much we miss him.
David Brian Brady.
Alexander Braginski.
For 7 years, we've come back here to be together, to feel how the entire world is linked in our circle of sorrow.
But even though he is gone, he is still with us and helps us to be better people. For our dad, we try to be kinder and help people in need. We work a little harder in school. We try our best in sports. For our dad, we hope to make a difference in the world one day. He would be so proud of that.
And mostly to remember those we loved who are never lost.
Nicholas W. Brandy Marty.
Daniel Raymond Brandhorst.
My dad died on 9/11, but he is not gone. Just look at each of our faces, and you will see him shine through us every day.
David Reed Gamboa Brandhorst.
Michelle Renee Breton.
7 years ago at this hour, a doomed airliner plunged from the sky, split the rock and steel of this building, and changed our world forever.
Patrice Brout.
Lydia E. Bravo.
At this time, please join us and all New Yorkers in a moment of silence.
We love you, Daddy.
The world will never be the same.
Well, there you have it. The nation remembers the tragedy of September 11th, and I think it's a really somber reminding for all of us of the nature of the conflict that we as a country are engaged in, especially at this particular time. The candidates today have made a pledge that they're going to not run negative ads. Look, I mean, you take a look at the situation globally and you realize the jihadist threat is real. We've talked about that a lot. Of fact, today I just received an email from our government affairs office that the whole issue on the organization of the Islamic Conference and the defamation of religion issue is going to be before, it looks like, the General Assembly, maybe even in October now. So there's a lot going on. It could be both in Geneva and in New York. And this is, look, we're engaged in a worldwide war on terrorism that's got jihadists throughout the world. And Jordan, as we've looked at this issue and as you've studied it, you were over in Europe multiple times this summer. We've got to realize that the spread of jihad is something that whoever the next president of the United States is, they're going to have to deal with.
And though we have been safe here in the United States, around the world, people are still facing the threats of these organizations, whether it's Al-Qaeda, the Taliban rising back to some power in the hinter regions of Afghanistan and the Pakistan border, whether you look into the Middle East, specifically the Persian Gulf area, radical groups are still on the rise, though they're not. They don't have the same kind of organization they had before 9/11 here in the United States, or at least the government has been able to thwart all of those planned attacks. We have got to be ready to combat this on all levels. President Bush is right. That's why you see both presidential candidates may disagree on Iraq and the strategy there, but when talking about the war on terror, both understand the importance of Afghanistan, of defeating Al-Qaeda, of finding Osama bin Laden, and destroying that network once and for all. But it is a huge battle, and it's worldwide. There are terror cells all over the world now in the United States and across the country, and we have to continue fighting.
We're going to continue doing just that at the American Center for Law and Justice and our resources worldwide. When we come back from the break, we've got a very important update on a case, a big victory. Our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with a big report in just a moment.
Imagine, graduates from a Christian high school told that their education is not good enough, that their course credits don't count. That's exactly what happened in California. And now that legal battle could threaten the future and direction of Christian education nationwide. A troubling federal court ruling in California said it was perfectly fine for a university to reject courses taught from a Christian perspective and to deny Christian high school graduates admission to a public university. It's a decision that discriminates against Christian education, a decision that, if upheld, would force Christian schools across the country to consider changing their curriculum. This case is now before a federal appeals court, and the American Center for Law and Justice wants to represent you in filing a Friend of the Court brief. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on today to the Committee Supporting Christian Students. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And now there's a new way you can stand with the ACLJ.
ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow with news about an important new way to stay in touch with the ACLJ, the ACLJ wireless service.
With an ACLJ wireless phone, you'll get special updates from me straight to your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. There's flexible and affordable calling plans. ACLJ Wireless, the latest member benefit that saves you money as you support the ACLJ. Other services include digital phone service, DSL for faster internet, and DirecTV. Call ACLJ Member Services, 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at aclj.org/benefits.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. Our phone lines are open for you. We've talked about the, and are, of course, going to remember all day, the tragedy of September 11th. A nation still at war with radical jihadists, as Justice Scalia said. We are at a war with radical Islamists. But the war continues all over the globe, both on the issues involving radical Islam, but also issues involving free speech. And we've got a major victory. And let me tell you this, folks. I want to get your comments on a couple of things. Number one, the situation in California that we're going to talk to you about. We'll talk to you about it again. We'll give you an update. Where the University of California refusing to accept college credits courses from Christian high schools. Why? Because the Bible is the worldview. Obviously, a very big deal there, and that's got national repercussions. How would you react if it was your son or daughter that got accepted, but then they said, I'm sorry, you don't have, we've got to retrain you how to think, because you're relying on a Christian worldview. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Taking your calls on that. What about the presidential candidates as well? So, again, our phone lines are open for you at 800-684-3110. Before we get to that, a big victory for the American Center for Law and Justice and really for our client, Teen Challenge in Nashville, Tennessee. Larry Crane, senior attorney with the ACLJ, just finished the jury trial, got a verdict last night here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm actually broadcasting out of Nashville today. Larry, let's first set the stage here. Obviously, a huge verdict, but a big issue. Tell us what was going on here.
Well, Teen Challenge is a Christian ministry that operates on a belief that a lasting solution to addiction of all types can only be achieved through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I mean, that is the fundamental principle of this operation. They have been fighting a case for 2 years with the metro government here that banished them from a property that they had bought to establish a new home where they would be able to treat up to 43 of these young people.
Let me set this phrase a little bit, Larry, so people understand. Now, this was a 13-acre tract of land. It was away from the city. It was to keep them outside of city involvement. So this idea of neighborhood distraction was bogus, obviously. But the fact of the matter is that that's Teen Challenge here, it's important to reiterate, that actually owned this property, and then they were kind of zoned out of it.
They were. The city, in fact, took the property away from them. They were left with property costing well over $800,000 that they couldn't use. They had to auction the property off at a loss and start from square one. All of their capital went into this project, and they lost it all.
So here you've got a situation where we go into really go ahead and try to figure out what you're going to do as far as how do you protect your client in a situation like this. And the end result was, we go into federal court and file a federal lawsuit, And we've demanded three things. The complaint said that there was a violation of the Fair Housing Act, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and constitutionally, a violation of equal protection. Now, set the stage. You actually had a jury trial on this.
We did. We tried the case before a jury here in Nashville. They bought every one of the ACLJ's arguments in this case. It was clear by the end that they felt this city should be held accountable for the consequences that it caused this ministry.
Now, let's talk about that. I mean, here the ministry is, and Teen Challenges does a great work around the country, around the world, really. What message does this send, this jury verdict, which, by the way, is over $970,000, what message does this send to city governments trying to discredit these Christian ministries?
I think it sends a clear signal to a lot of municipalities when dealing with ministries that we remain a government of laws and not men, that they cannot use political pressure or bow to the neighborhood opposition to a ministry just because it treats these types of individuals from a Christian perspective.
Yeah, here you go again with the Christian perspective issue. That seems to always be the kicker in these cases. But the end result here, very positive. And Larry, of course, they've got an appeal right to the Court of Appeals. We'll see what happens there. But this was obviously a huge victory. And Larry, we appreciate your update on this and your great work at the trial. What a great victory this is. The client, Larry, last thing here, the client must be ecstatic at this point.
They're giving all the glory to God for it. They're ecstatic. They're now looking for a new home, and they've got it now within their sights to get it. So we're excited.
Oh, great. Great. Larry Crane, Senior Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, folks. A almost seven-figure jury verdict on behalf of Teen Challenge. And we do give the credit and glory to God as well, but we also appreciate the talents that the Lord has given Larry Crane and our team there in Nashville and our office in Nashville, Tennessee, to handle a case like this at the jury trial and get a success. And a success it was. Thanks, Larry, for the update.
Thank you, Jay.
You know, it's interesting, Jordan, that Larry said it was the Christian perspective of the training here with Teen Challenge that created the problem. We're seeing that in this California case as well.
That's right. The Christian perspective that's in these classroom textbooks and these high school textbooks on everything from biology to history to literature to every subject, basically, was told by these school officials at the University of California school system, these different professors, that it didn't teach critical thinking because of its Christian perspective. What is that Christian perspective that disqualifies these students from being critical thinkers, even though they've already been accepted into the UC school system? Because the Bible is presented as inerrant and as an history book and not just a storybook. That's really the main concern here, is that in the biology class that creation intelligent design is put on the same level as evolution. Not that the students aren't learning about it, but that it's put on the same level as evolution, and there's a classroom discussion. The same goes for history. When the school says, you know what, you shouldn't be looking into the religious backgrounds of different historical figures. I mean, that's not even academically honest, not to look into what religious motivators were behind different political activities, different historical movements throughout time, or the lack of religion in those movements is very important to history. But that's what these school officials do, and they always demean these students by saying basically they're not ready to be critical thinkers in our classroom yet.
I'll tell you this, folks. I think this is where it comes down to whether it is the situation with Teen Challenge, we just had this great victory out of federal court, or if it is a situation, as Jordan just mentioned, where they're trying to get you to rethink. They've got to train these students to rethink, not from a Christian perspective. We have to stand up here. So here's what I want to do. Everyone that's listening to us, if you're pleased with this decision out of the jury in the Teen Challenge case, understand again what was being challenged there, the Christian worldview on drug rehabilitation. By the way, Teen Challenge program, one of the most successful in the world and beats all of the secular counterparts. In California, you go to a Christian school, you get into the University of California, but you have the nerve to believe the Bible's the Word of God, and you are thinking from a biblical worldview, they have to teach you how to rethink. We want you to react to that by joining our committee to stand up for these students, filing a brief with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Here's the number. Everyone that's listening, go to the phones right now. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org, but sign that committee onto that committee now and be part of history standing up for these students. Let's go to our phones. A lot of calls coming in.
Bruce is calling from Colorado on line 3. Bruce, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Yep, thanks for taking
my
call.
Sure.
I was just wondering, you know, if you look at ACT scores, and if they're saying that they don't have the skills to think correctly, then what about everybody else across the nation that didn't go to a Christian school who has lower ACT scores? Do they need to be trained also? Otherwise, is that just exposing blatant discrimination based on religion?
Sure, and here's the answer. They don't care. If you went to a secular school and had low ACT or lower ACT scores or SAT scores, you're not going to have to be reprogrammed, retrained. But if you went to the Christian school, they're not giving you credit for it because these professors think they have to teach you how to think critically. We've seen this time and time again, but there is definite discrimination against the Christian student. And as I said on yesterday's program, talking about this whole radical jihadist issue, could you imagine if the students were graduates of a Muslim school and they went to the University of California and the University of California put in writing, I'm sorry, you study the Quran and base that as a way of life and a thinking process and your Quranic worldview, therefore not going to give you credit? Can you imagine, Jordan, what the outrage would be? It would be a national story.
No, and I even take it a step further. What if the students went to a completely secular school where they learned nothing about religion? Are you going to say that that's a well-rounded student, too? Or are you going to tell them that they're not good critical thinkers because they know nothing about the importance of religion and history and all of the different sciences? I mean, when you look at the history and when you look at the background of science and all of these major thinkers, they came out sometimes rejecting their religion, other time putting their religion together with their new ideas. And of course, political movements throughout history are tied to different religious movements as well. So to say this, Dad, to tell these students, and the caller is absolutely right, this is the first thing that hit me with this story. It wasn't that the school said you're not in. It wasn't that they said you're not academically qualified because of your test scores, your high school, your GPA. They're saying you're academically qualified. You've got the GPA, you got the test scores, you had the GPA, you had all the things you needed to have. You just didn't go to the right school. You didn't learn from the books that we like.
Yeah, so therefore you're disqualified. Let's get one more call before the break.
Jim's calling from Illinois online too. Jim, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Jim. Quickly, please.
I'm pretty open to this issue. The only thing I would have to add from a critical thinking perspective, and I've taught in a philosophy department for years, and I've taught critical thinking, that's neither here nor there, but one thing occurred to me. There is a difference between eschatology and historical methods. I mean,
And they understand that. And these schools, listen, these schools teach it in the correct way. This is not strictly, when you talk about eschatology, a theological perspective. It's a way of thinking. What they're objecting to here, Jim, is the way of thinking. It's the way these students think. And that is what the real problem here is. They don't like the way these students are trained to think. And I think that's a very dangerous trend to allow sit. Now, a U.S. District Court judge in California has said that's okay. You can have to have these people retrained, basically, and you can discriminate against these Christian students. We think that's wrong. And because we think that's wrong, we're reacting by filing a friend of the court brief, and we want you to be a part of it with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to stand up for these Christian students and speak and be able to think from a biblical worldview without being penalized. You go to your phones right now. Add your name to this committee. Very important that you do it. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 to stand up with these students. Go to aclj.org, updated information there. Back with your calls in just one moment.
Now there's a great new way to stay in touch with the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Wireless. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
With ACLJ Wireless, you'll get special updates from me and be able to get critical information fast, right from your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
The ACLJ Wireless service, 10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. Choose from the most popular phones. Flexible and affordable calling plans starting at $29.99 with every 6 months of service free. And keep your existing cell number.
By using ACLJ Wireless, you're helping the ACLJ stand up for your rights.
ACLJ Wireless Service from ACLJ Member Services. Call now. 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at acljwireless.com. Imagine, graduates from a Christian high school told that their education is not good enough, that their course credits don't count. That's exactly what happened in California. And now that legal battle could threaten the future and direction of Christian education nationwide. A troubling federal court ruling in California said it was perfectly fine for a university to reject courses taught from a Christian perspective and to deny Christian high school graduates admission to a public university. It's a decision that discriminates against Christian education, a decision that, if upheld, would force Christian schools across the country to consider changing their curriculum. This case is now before a federal appeals court, and the American Center for Law and Justice wants to represent you in filing a Friend of the Court brief. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on today to the Committee Supporting Christian Students. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or add your name online at aclj.org.
Everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, big victory out of the U.S. District Court here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm actually broadcasting from Nashville today. We represent Teen Challenge. They were had property for their rehabilitation facility, 13 acres, way out in the country, no neighbors nearby. They bought the property. It was zoned appropriately. Then the city changed the zoning so they could not have their Christian-based rehabilitation program, which, by the way, is one of the most successful programs in the world. We went to federal court, jury trial that just completed yesterday. And, folks, here's the good news. A decision in favor of Teen Challenge on three counts, violations of the Americans with Disabilities Act, violation of the Fair Housing Act, and importantly, from a constitutional perspective, that the city and county governments of Nashville violated the rights under the Equal Protection Clause of Teen Challenge, and they're now able to continue they got, by the way, almost $1 million verdict we got for them, that they'll be able to relocate now to a new property. They lost this other property already. You can imagine after it was zoned out what happened. But the good news is they're able to now acquire new property and their Christian-based view of rehabilitation will go forward. And I tie that right into the situation in California, because in California right now, if you go to a Christian school, then go to the University of California, you're not going to get advanced placement credit. Why? Because they don't want you to be taught to think from a Christian worldview. We want to correct that. And to do that, we're going to go to take an amicus brief to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We've got a committee to protect these students. And again, everybody that's listening, sign on to that committee. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Jordan, let's go back to the calls.
We got lots of calls coming in. If you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Jordan's calling from Hawaii online, too. Jordan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I was on the show the other day, also on the same subject. I just wanted to kind of give a little testimony. I was Christian homeschooled in high school and all through my education. Upon graduation, I went to college at a state college, and I graduated with honors with a civil engineering degree. Now, I'd like to have somebody tell me that I'm not a critical thinker just because of my education. It's absolutely ridiculous. Always was in the top 10% of my class, and I think it's just absolutely silly that they could say something like that.
Well, listen, I appreciate you calling back in, Jordan, and that's a good, you know, you're giving an accurate depiction of the reality of what goes on in homeschooling and Christian schooling across the country. Students do very well academically, but you're right. They want to say that you are not trained to critically think. And Jordan, that's the thing that we've got to focus on. This is a retraining of the educational process, a retraining of the mind is what University of California is trying to mandate here.
That's right. They want these students to go through their view, their worldview. I mean, you discuss worldviews. This is it right here. They want them to think like they think, not how they've already been trained to think, regardless if that's academically suitable. I mean, Dad, I went to Christian high schools. I did some homeschooling. I went to a private secular university for undergraduate. Now I'm here at Regent and law school at Christian school. You always have to deal with coming out of schools that have a Christian basis, this perceived notion of how you must think and that you're some kind of less of a thinker. But you prove that by getting the best test scores, by getting into these school systems, and that's what these students did. That's the story here. All nine of the students who graduated from this class that applied to the UC school system got into the schools. But then they're told they're not ready to think because they were taught that the Bible was inerrant, and I'm sure most of them believe that, and that the Bible was a historical book, and these professors want these students to believe that it's just a storybook.
Well, let me tell you this. I think the fact of the matter is that you're absolutely, Jordan said it right. But, folks, we've got to stand up for these students that are being discriminated here. And if we don't stand up from all 50 states, you're going to see a snowball effect on this. Now, it's going to the Ninth Circuit. We're going to file an amicus brief. But I want everybody listening to be part of this history, to be part of this brief. We want to say we're representing 100,000 people. We're at about 7,000, 8,000 right now. So we need to hear from you. Here's the number. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255 to add your name to this very, very important committee going to file a brief with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And boy, are there some interesting, you could tie this into the politics too, because Sarah Palin, the vice presidential nominee on the Republican side, continues to get these press attacks, although I think the more they attack her, the higher her stock rises. Now coming out of Canada, Jordan, what's the latest there?
This is a really unbelievable story. Now Canadian doctors weighing in on Sarah Palin's birth of her fifth child, the one who has Down syndrome. This article is truly shocking. When you look at this, it's coming from a medical professional association. The Canadian doctors have worried that Sarah Palin's example may lead to mothers shunning abortion. They're worried that it may lead to mothers shunning abortion after diagnosis of Down syndrome. Dr. Andra Lalonde, she's the executive vice president of the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists of Canada, told the Globe and Mail yesterday, quote, that Palin's decision to keep her baby, knowing he could be born with the condition, may inadvertently influence other women who may lack the necessary emotional and financial support to do the same. So there it is from the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists of Canada, that if you may not have the money or emotional support, you should abort your child. And they're worried that Governor Palin's example may keep more women from making that decision.
Well, there you have it, folks. You talk about all this ties in. Why is Governor Palin being attacked? Because she's maintaining a Christian worldview when it comes to this very issue, and that is the sanctity of human life. But I'll tell you, as I said, the more they attack, the more her stock seems to rise. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out in the days ahead, because the issue of all of this ties in with our cases, and again, ties in with this great victory at the U.S. District Court here in Nashville, Tennessee, $1 million verdict, basically, $971,000, a victory for Teen Challenge, which we're thrilled with. So we'll keep everybody posted. If they appeal, we'll work on that appeal. But a great victory for Teen Challenge. Let's try to get another phone call.
Sean's calling from Illinois on line 4. Sean, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sean.
Hey. Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd just like to say, I have a high school age daughter that is in a Christian school.
Okay.
And this is kind of frightening to me because,
sure.
You know, when you work really hard to put your kid in a private school and you sacrifice for that, you know, you worry that how they're going to be accepted in other colleges. But my main reason for calling would be just to let people know, take this as a wake-up call as far as the way of thinking of the secular education of today.
You're absolutely correct about that, by the way. Let me tell you two things, and I appreciate your call, Sean. One is, you know, it's the taxpayers who are the parents of these high school students that are paying for the University of California system. And in addition to that, they're paying for private tuition to go to a Christian school. So they're exactly the situation you're talking about. And number two, you're right. This should be a loud wake-up call to everybody to stand firm here and make sure these students are getting the proper treatment, which they're not. So again, I want to encourage everybody, you go to your phones right now, add your name to this committee, go in to file a brief, 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 to add your name to this committee. One more call before the end of the program.
Let's go back to the phones. Rich calling from Ohio on line 3. Rich, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Rich.
How are you doing this fine afternoon?
Great. How can we help you?
Well, I have a question. I don't know if I've been misinformed or not, and maybe you can help me out. But did not Senator Obama go to a Muslim high school and graduate from there and then go on?
No, he did not go to a Muslim high school, because the high school he went to actually was founded by Christian missionaries in Hawaii. So, Jordan, we ran down those rumors. They were not correct.
No, he went to a school in Indonesia for a short period of time when he was with his father, who he was not with very much of his entire life, that was run by the government, which was, it's a government that's a Muslim government, but it wasn't, technically, it wasn't a Muslim school like in the U.S. He was just at a government school there.
Yeah, so we put that rumor down. But I will tell you this, and this is where it is not to do with presidential politics, but if these were students coming out of a Muslim school in California, you could bet the University of California would not put in writing that because their worldview is based on the Quran, they're disqualified from getting these advanced placement courses. There's no way. But because it's a Christian school, the University of California thinks they get a free pass. Well, the case is now before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We're filing a friend of the court brief, and we want you to be part of that history. So join our committee to protect these students. Here's the number. We encourage everyone that's listening from all 50 states, go to your phones right now. Let's stand up for these young people. 1-877-989-2255. Let me give you that number again. It's 1-877-989-2255 to add your name to the committee. And that committee, by the way, filing a brief with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. You can also go to ACLJ.org, sign up online, and update information about our court victory. But you go to your phones right now, 877-989-2255. We'll talk to you tomorrow.